Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Well, it is always a pleasure. Welcome back to the program, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Where are you right now?
I am just outside of Los Angeles in, Glendale, California.
Okay, you don't have to be real precise about it. I don't want people tracking you down, but you're in California.
Nothing's on fire right now or under a mudslide or anything like that, right?
No, I mean, there's a slide of illegals coming across the border, but we'll dig our way out by noon.
All right, here's the question.
I've never been under a Honduran.
Here's, well, that's
surprising.
One of the few. You've been engaged to everything else.
Adam, continue.
Adam, here's the question. Here's the question of the day. When do you? First of all, do you do your own laundry?
No.
Okay, moot point.
Did you though?
But I have. I have my entire life.
Okay.
I was a bachelor. My entire life, my family was horrible, and my mom was worse, so I was constantly doing it. And I do miss this, which is I used to, for half a day, go to the coin-op laundry, pack everything up in a giant Grinch Whoville-sized duffel bag, pack it all up, get on my sled, get my schnauzer, pull me down to this place. But I found myself sitting in those form-fitting fiberglass row chairs with the smell of Tide in the air, and I would just bring a Steno pad, and I would sit there with the hum of the dryer in the background and just write comedy sketches hours on end, and I got a ton done. It was sort of like being in prison a day.
And it is. You can't leave.
Yeah, now I'm like, I'm on my feet, running around, I'm yelling at people into a phone, I'm jumping into my car, and I don't have that time anymore to sit around and, dream up comedy sketches and that sort of thing. So in a weird way, I miss it.
And nothing has taken the place of doing laundry. There's no, you must have a place to go and just do what you do for a while, don't you? You wrote a book.
Yeah, I do. I find myself on Saturdays sitting around a warehouse I have with a bunch of old Pullman race cars in it, sitting alone and drinking a beer and listening to 80s music and staring at these cars. But I don't write any jokes.
All right. Well, I have a couple of questions for you. When you did do your own laundry, did you separate the laundry colors, whites, things that might bleed into the others, delicate cycle stuff? Or did you just throw it all in, just grab as much as it would hold and let her fly?
I always separated things because two out of every four commercials I ever saw growing up was about separating this from that. And then some new detergent where you didn't have to separate this from that, but I never had that detergent. So what I learned from the commercial wasn't get this detergent. What I learned was you can't afford this detergent, so you better separate.
We posited that there are no separate your clothes commercials anymore. Like, the technology has erased this problem.
Either the colors have gotten better in clothes or the detergent has managed to not wash the color out of them and turn them all to a pink or a light blue or something like that.
There's a few things that are gone. That is gone. The heartbreak of psoriasis is gone. There's little to no dandruff.
Wait a minute. I've seen Cindy Lauper in a psoriasis commercial.
Oh. It's back, Adam.
They do. It's around a little. You got to watch enough Hannity to see it. But also, just going to check with my wife because there's another genre of commercial that has gone the way of the dodo.
Uh-oh.
Oh, she's in the bathroom there.
I can help you probably.
Lynette, have you ever been devastated that I didn't ask for a second cup of your coffee? No. She'll be fair. She hopes the first cup kills me. We've never been at a dinner party where she's been completely devastated because I wanted a second cup of magic coffee.
What brand was that?
That was what happened in that. The guy was at, they were at a party, and he asked for a second cup of coffee. But his wife probably never.
So she's coming by with the pot of U-Ban or Taster's Choice or whatever it is, or Mrs. Olson's coming by with the Taster's Choice, and she's going, Bob, would you like another cup of coffee? And his wife, Sally Ann, is waving it off. Like, no, he won't even. He goes, oh, yes, I will. And she's thrown through a loop. Her world has come apart now, right?
Yeah,
because
y'all
know, like, my wife would be destroyed if that happened.
I haven't seen Captain Crunch in a while either, and I don't know whether he's not doing commercials or I'm just watching shows where Captain Morgan is advertised more.
Yeah, I think so. And Captain Crunch was actually deployed to Afghanistan. He was actually got pulled into the war. A lot of people don't know that.
Active duty after all these years.
When all the F's went down and he got called back up. Yeah, he's in active duty.
Well, Brian pointed this out. You don't sit in the laundromat anymore and write because it's your peaceful, quiet place and you like the smell of Tide. But you have written a book. So when you're writing books or you're just writing material for whatever, you know, your act or whatever, do you set aside time to go do that or do things hit you as funny and you just keep notes?
Things hit me as funny. I keep notes. I sit in the car for long periods of time and I sometimes dictate to someone on the other line, like when I'm writing a book oftentimes because LA traffic and whatnot. But no, I talk and talk and talk. Things strike me as funny. I make little notes. I walk around. I watch TV. I see commercials. I make little notes. And then I try to work those little notes out on my podcast. And then eventually they get up on stage.
All right. So what are you working on? What are you doing? What's coming up?
God, I do documentaries, a lot of documentaries now.
About what?
I have one called Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman. It's a Paul Newman racing documentary. It's just,
awesome.
It's only about his life as a race car driver. I have one called The 24-Hour War, which is, Ford versus Ferrari at Le Mans and their big battle.
Wait a minute, say that again. At where?
60s.
Le Mans. Le Mans.
Le Mans. Yeah.
It's not
Le Mans.
Le Mans.
Okay, what is the correct, is that the correct pronunciation for Le Mans?
It's spelled Le Mans.
Right.
But it's supposed to be pronounced Le Mans.
All right, now, just for the record, Adam, and by the way, we're speaking to Adam Carolla, who's going to be in Madison Friday night. We'll get you all the details about that in a minute. What age did you start calling it Le Mans?
Yeah, like last year. Come on. Your friends would have beaten you for that.
Yeah, you'd get your ass kicked.
I would call it Le Mans. I would call it Le Mans, except for I made this movie and I kept saying Le Mans. I'm going to Le Mans.
Do you go to Aubonpont too?
Do you remember the movie Le Mans that was out in like 1970, 71?
Yeah, Steve McQueen. Yeah.
Yeah.
They made a doc about that as well. This movie's better. They're both 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
don't be shy.
You guys, they're great docs. So if you guys want to
tell us
enjoy,
where we can see
not,
them.
You can get them on Amazon Prime, wherever you buy those kinds of movies. But, you know, Amazon, or you can go to my website, which is Chassis, Chassy, spelled a little different phonetically, but we have all these movies. We have all these racing movies there, and you can check these movies out. They're very good. And it's not a gearhead thing. You'll like the 24-Hour War or the Paul Newman doc, whether you're in the cars or not.
Who doesn't like Paul Newman? Right. Yeah, perfect subject matter, no matter what he's doing.
Did you?
You will fall more in love with him if you see this movie.
Did what was the Ron Howard movie about the racers? What was that?
Oh, that was who was in that? Hercules, not Hercules.
Yeah.
Thor was in that. That was
Thor was in it.
I can't remember who the drivers were. Niki Lauda.
Rush. It was called Rush.
Rush. That's it. Yeah.
Did you see that and enjoy it, or have any opinion on that?
I did. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I watched it. I enjoyed it, and I thought it was a little underappreciated
because really?
I thought it was a really good movie. But if you like. James Hunt and Niki Lauda were the two guys
right.
that were battling out in that movie. But this is the documentary version of a movie like that.
Do you race at all? I mean, how did you get into this subject matter?
I have a whole bunch of Paul Newman race cars, so I have his cars, and I do race.
You mean his actual old cars, not like models?
No, his old race cars. He was a four-time.
What is one of those cars?
No kidding.
What is one?
I have
Paul
his salad
Newman?
Dressing.
How many yeah. books you gotta run to get those?
And his cat food.
I don't know what they cost now. Could be millions of dollars. I don't know. They don't change hands very much. There's one guy who has the one remaining championship car. So I have 10 of his cars. He won the championship four times, and I have three of his four championship cars, and the one guy's got the last one, went to sell for $7 million. It's a Datsun. But he's not going to get it.
I heard that if you bought 10 Paul Newman cars, you got Joanne Woodward too.
She'd get a sandwich or something.
Right.
Is that true?
Yeah, free vinaigrette.
Yeah, you get the 11th one free. it's kind of crazy. They're all just you can look it up online, or you can punch in Adam Carolla racing Newman cars or vintage racing or whatever. You'll see them all.
God, I saw Mario Andretti, his Indy car, the one that he won with in '69, was just in parts in a box in somebody's garage. What show was that? That's got to kill you to hear something like that.
Ray Abraham
does a show
where he goes and puts together like old race cars and goes out and drives.
Oh, you know what, Adam? I remember what it was. It was Storage Wars.
American Pickers.
And Brandy got it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's either that or Paris Hilton's herpes cream. You never know. That's the thing. That's why you gotta go to war.
You're remarkably successful. Tell us about your podcast. Why are you so popular on podcasts?
I got there. I started doing it early and often, and I never missed a day. And I just started coming on 10 years ago, and I just went 5 days a week from the very beginning, and it was never an option to treat it like a hobby. I just treated it like a job before there was a job. There wasn't a podcasting job back when I started. It's still kind of hard to do it, for a living, but I just treated it like a full-time job before there was any money. And I just kept at it. And I was never scared to throw money at it, like build out a studio and hire personnel. And I was doing all that stuff sort of before there was any business model or money model, and the business sort of came around, and that's I was just sort of seeing, I guess I sort of saw the future as the phrase goes.
Well, so what did it start as? You, a camera and a card table, or was it more than that?
I was at my house, and I would do it out of my den for the first several months, but I had a warehouse with some cars in it.
Yeah, sit in the car.
Warehouse.
And so I remember Andy Dick was one of the guests who came over to my house, and he ate a whole bunch of my lunch meat, which made me mad.
You got off easy.
A man's lunch meat.
You got off really easy with an Andy Dick encounter.
God.
Yeah, well, unless that's gay slang that you guys don't know about from your neck of the woods. He tossed my lunch meat, and he left a cigar in my office, and it smelled all cigar-y. And I said, "You know, I gotta build a studio." So I built a studio because I used to be a builder.
Yeah,
so
you're a carpenter, yeah. So you can,
and you built it. You built it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you wire it?
No, I don't know how to. I'm not good at that.
Okay.
I built a studio, I built a console, and built the place and control rooms and built some offices and stuff like that, and just moved into this studio.
Thank you, Andy Dick, and your stinky cigar. Yeah. All right, Adam, you're going to be in Madison on Friday night, correct?
That's right.
You're at the Capitol Theater?
I shall be at the Capitol. At the Capitol Theater.
Yeah, Capitol Theater.
The Capitol Theater.
Are tickets still available?
Got another... Yeah, there's a few.
Okay.
So I hear. And it's weird. It's the Capitol Theater, but it's also another name. I should figure that out.
The Capitol?
The theater?
No, I'm going to yell at my guy because they just told me what it was, and it wasn't the Capitol. But either way. Well, you can go to adamcarolla.com. It'll be up on the...
There you go.
On the whatever.
All right.
And you can... find if there's tickets and all that stuff. But
also
I'll be
the
there.
Overture Center for the Arts?
That's right. It's the Capitol Theater, which is probably at the Overture
Center for the Arts.
Wow.
That's so classy.
If they went back to your high school and they told some of your old teachers, you're going to have a student performing at the Capitol Overture for the Arts someday, would they have said, I bet it's that Corolla kid. I bet he does.
Sure, that's him there.
No, not in 100 million 1,000 years, unless I own that frog that could sing from the WB.
Hello, my honey.
Campaign.
That would be Michigan.
That's right.
That would be Michigan J.
Hello, my
frog.
Baby.
All right, good to talk to you, Adam. Always good to talk to you.
You're welcome back anytime. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Thanks for having me,
Adam Carolla.